Says Mike Judge from the Christian Institution, is that the powers of political correctness have reached all the way to the top of the judicial tree so much that even the Supreme Court dare not say anything against gay rights. Rights. Human rights, black rights, Spanish rights, immigration rights, children's rights. Everybody has a right, except Christians, who've been given the right to become sons of God. They want to take away that right. Some might suggest that rather than pursuing this case, a far more Christian thing to do would be to fight the evils of poverty and disease worldwide. That's a bunch of nonsense. None of those things are man going to overcome. We're a world that has mocked God. And filling up our cup of iniquity, Almighty Yahweh is going to bring it to the same day that God drew Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained down fire and brimstone and consumed the cities And that was done as an ensample to all of those cities who hereafter shall live in like manner. Fire's coming soon. The judgment of God upon this old world will burn with holy fire of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Christ. And when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know you therefore that the desolation thereof is near. These are the days of vengeance, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all the Sodom and Gomorrahs and all those hereafter who should live in such an ungodly state where they don't want to consider that God, the creator of heaven and earth, is just that, the creator of heaven and earth. And he is going to be known to be just that, the Savior, the creator, the God, and beside him there will be no God. Dear Brother Stair at Overcome Ministry, email address is lasttime@overcomingministry.org. Dear Brother Stair, this morning in my time with the Lord, I was reading these verses which made me think of you and those saints which are gathered together with you across the world. Listen to this verse. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I beseech you therefore, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Romans 15:5-7, and then verse 30. Which also caused me to stop and pray for you, Brother Stair. Blessing to you as you preach the word of God in this dark hour. Another one comes from, this is a unique one. I just picked up your radio show just now. It was kind of faint for half a minute or so. No radio. I did not pick you up on the radio. It seems to be something to do with the length of my computer speakers. I've heard you before, but never managed to hear well enough over the background noise to catch a name and address. So, yep, I heard you long enough today to get your name, The Overcomer, South Carolina. I looked you up online. My name is Johnny. I live in Nottingham in England. Now, I just want to tell you that your radio broadcast reaches far. I can listen all the time now.
Lawlessness. We're supposed to be a nation and a world of laws. I believe Mr. Bush said, not the law of the jungle, but the law. But my friends, I can tell you right now, that this world that is setting up its criteria to be run by laws are twisting the law. There's no justice in it, no equality in it. I'm going to let you hear an excerpt here in just a moment concerning Mr. Obama. Now, I wish there was a way I could talk about Mr. Obama without you people or any of you twisting it around to think that I'm talking against Mr. Obama. Mr. Obama came as President of the United States by the will of God. Many have declared him to be the Antichrist, and some folk don't even know what the Antichrist is. But I can tell you this much. Mr. Obama is living up to his name that he took. It's not the one he was born with. It was a name that he chose. And I don't think he even understands what he's doing. Obama. And I'm going to let you listen to an excerpt of someone who evaluates what Mr. Obama's doing. If anybody listened to me at all, you heard me say that this whole world that we live in has always found a scapegoat or someone to dignify the erroneous actions of governments and people. And usually find someone to do their bidding for them and cast the blame upon them. Mr. Obama is such a man. He inherited a corrupt society. He raised in a corrupt generation. He, in a perverted lifestyle, and so a nation of laws that are constantly being violated by the ones who even give the law. Maybe I can help you understand or try to explain it to you. I sat down here at the radio microphone a moment ago, and I look up here in front of me is a beautiful picture of young Amish girls dressed very neatly, riding their bicycles to their one-room schoolhouse. The Amish people are a people that have kept themselves pretty well separate from society as we know it, because they just don't believe that Christians who believe in God should live like most people live. So they kept themselves pretty well separate. And they're successful. They're good workers. They're good neighbors. They're not troublemakers. And yet, somehow, they're causing trouble. Now, here's our good old America, who upholds all kinds of freedom for immigrants, illegal people. All I could think about when I read this article was, there just is no justice in the land. And then I thought about our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the nation, to of the United States of America, one nation, huh? With freedom and liberty and justice for all. If we are not a nation that has defied our pledge to our nation, our flag, blasphemed our Constitution, and destroyed it from the top to the bottom, it is sad. Now let me read this account. A 10-year-old Amish girl with leukemia and her parents have fled their home in Ohio, leaving the country at one point so that the daughter won't be forced into resuming chemotherapy treatments. The family had been fighting a hospital in court for months after the parents decided to halt the treatments, because they were making the girl sick. Now, friends, that is absolute. These chemotherapy treatments that they have given the people has not saved one life. I've known several people that took it, and they died. And I also know people that did not take it, and they died. So to tell anybody that having these treatments will save your life is a damn lie. Our medical profession, with their lies about curing people, healing people, is a lie. How can you say that? Because the Word of God says that you have no healing medicines. And the Word of God says, in vain shalt thou take many medicines. It's no fluke, my friends, that one of the things on the agenda with Mr. Obama is to force people to take drugs and medicine that the medical profession says will heal you. Now, this family left their home in rural northeast Ohio just the day before a state appeals court appointed a guardian in October to take over medical decisions for the daughter. So they left their home and even left the country. They don't want their daughter to be taken away. Isn't that something? Justice for all, huh? So the parents are not treating their child the way the doctors say. And the doctors are lying. They won't guarantee that girl will stay alive. They say it's treatable. Yeah, you can treat anything. You can even treat death. But they won't guarantee if she had this chemotherapy that she will live. This is amazing to watch the thought pattern of our nation. Doctors at Akron Children's Hospital, they believe that Sarah's leukemia is treatable. You get it? But not curable. See? But say she will die without chemotherapy. Of course, if they treated her with chemotherapy and she died, then what happens? Huh? The hospital went to court after the family decided to stop chemotherapy and treat their daughter with natural medicines, herbs, and vitamins. An appeals court ruling in October gave an attorney, who also is a registered nurse, limited guardianship over Sarah and the power to make medical decisions for her. Not even their daughter. The court said the beliefs and the convictions of her parents can't outweigh the rights of the state to protect the child. Now, you listen to me. The state will guarantee that they will keep this girl alive through chemotherapy or whatever. What a damnable lie. The family has appealed the decision to both the appeals court and the Ohio Supreme Court. They also plan to file a motion to terminate the guardianship. They have not had any contact with the gardeners since the ruling. A taxi was sent to the family's home nearly 2 months ago after the guardian was appointed to take Sarah to the hospital in Akron. Someone at the home said the family was not there. There are no plans to ask the court to find the family or force the girl into chemotherapy while the case is being appealed. What? I mean, come on now. You say if she don't get treated, she's going to die. But you're going to stand back and wait for the court to decide, huh? Well, where is the justice? Why did you just let the mother and the father and the family have that little girl pray and believe God and God keep her alive? Why won't we just do it? We are such a nation that's fighting against God. It's unbelievable. There is no doctor, no medical profession, no law, no court that has a jurisdiction over a child. The child has been given to the parents, and the parents are responsible for the child whether they live or die. I'm very concerned about it, said the lawyer. The doctor says you could die within a year if her treatments don't resume. Come on, sir. Come on, doctors. Come on. You're not. Put it down in paper, sir. Sign it. Let us treat this girl, and we guarantee you she will live to be an old lady. You know you can't do it. You know you can't. Cowardly profession, huh? The girl has undergone alternative therapy treatments, and she's doing well, the lawyer said. The family told him she has more energy. The CT scans show the treatments are working. And faith in God will give her the victory if the state can just keep their hands off of her. In Ohio, the Center for Constitutional Law says he believes that the case is an example of the courts trampling on the rights of parents and freedom to refuse medical treatment. That's right. You see, my dear friends out there, that's what's going on in the world today in our law-abiding system. They're passing laws that's going to make it wrong for you to believe and trust in God. Like they did in Daniel's day when they passed a law that he couldn't pray. You know we've already passed them kind of laws in America? Can't pray, can't call on Jesus. In the land of the free and the home of the brave, huh? A Minnesota mom fled the state with her 13-year-old son in 2009 during a court battle over whether he should be forced to continue chemotherapy. She wanted her son's cancer treated. And the boy underwent court-ordered chemo. Well, what about it? Have we heard the result of that? Have we? No, they won't tell us one way or the other. They probably make that one fade away. Hospital officials have said they are morally and legally obligated to make sure the girl receives proper care so they can guarantee her life, right? Right? What are you doing, Brother Stair? I'm mocking this apostate generation personified with the evil and the wickedness in America today. I want you to listen to this next little episode talking that this guy is not even, I don't believe he's a preacher at all. He's just discussing what Mr. Obama has been put into office by the elite, by the power structure that many people think that he opposes, but he does exactly what they want him to do. And you want to listen to this. You talk about two-faced, double-minded, doing one thing in one country and then doing exactly the opposite in another. Just listen to this, and perhaps you will get a better perspective of what we're trying to tell.
In the film 2016, I advanced what seemed to be a kind of outlandish theory about Obama, that Obama had imbibed the anti-colonial philosophy of his dad, Barack Obama Sr. And this anti-colonialism shapes Obama's worldview and helps us to predict what Obama's going to do. It not only explains what he is doing, but it allows us to foretell and anticipate things that he's going to do. In the film, we made some fairly specific predictions about Obama, and this is not a bad time to review those predictions and see if they have in fact come true. So one of the predictions is that Obama would spend money promiscuously to raise the debt in virtual indifference to the impact of the debt on American citizens. In fact, Obama has been racking up the debt at the rate of $1 trillion a year. The debt has doubled in Obama's term in office. So Bush was a big spender, but even in his most profligate days, Bush was spending $500 billion. Obama has doubled that on an annual basis. The country is now almost $17 trillion in debt. That's bigger than our gross domestic product. And that's an awful burden to saddle our children and grandchildren. It's also a burden that drags the economy down and redistributes wealth away from America to the rest of the world. Why? Because in the past, much of our debt was owed to other Americans. But now, a significant portion of our debt, about a third, is owed to foreigners. Our debt is owed to Kuwaitis and Saudis and Chinese. And so when we incur debt and have to pay it back, and at some point you have to pay, this is a transfer of hundreds of billions, in fact, trillions of dollars out of the United States and to other countries. My theory about Obama was that he wanted and wants global redistribution, and debt is a weapon of global redistribution. My second prediction is that Obama wants to shrink the influence of American foreign policy. This is not the unintentional effect of a blundering president. If you want that, you have to go to Jimmy Carter. When Jimmy Carter pulled the Persian rug out from the Shah of Iran, oops, he got Khomeini. He didn't know he was going to get somebody who would be congenitally hostile to American foreign policy, so he was surprised. But when Obama supports the Muslim Brotherhood, he knows that this is the oldest and most powerful organization of radical Islam in the world. He knows that the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to consolidate its power, not only in Egypt, but throughout the Middle East. And yet, when the Muslim Brotherhood comes to power, Obama doesn't seem perturbed. In fact, he seems kind of excited. When the military pushes out the Muslim Brotherhood, Obama seems flummoxed. He doesn't really know what to do. Suddenly, you've got guys who used to be allies with the United States, the Egyptian military. And what does Obama do? He cuts American aid to the military to antagonize those guys. It's almost like he's looking to take Egypt, which is a longtime ally, and make it into an enemy. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Obama's, you know, he couldn't help it. There was Tahrir Square, there were the students in the streets, America believes in democracy. Surely Obama has no choice but to support democracy in Egypt. But wait a minute. In 2009, there were massive pro-democracy demonstrations in Iran. Did Obama back the democracy movement? No, he opposed it. He, in fact, said, let's stay out. He said, let's leave things to, and I quote him, the supreme leader. The Iranian mullahs, they bring out the police, they beat up the protesters, and that's the end of the democracy movement in Iran. So there's a real double standard in Obama's treatment of Iran, where he opposed the democracy movement, and Egypt, where he supported it. Now, when an intelligent man does something that's contradictory, it's not because he's a fool. It's because he's up to something else. The difference between Iran and Egypt is that Iran is an adversary of the United States. And Obama seems to have no interest in weakening our adversaries, while he does seem to have an interest in weakening our allies. This double standard can be seen also in the way that Obama has treated Libya on the one hand and Syria on the other. So when there was an uprising in Benghazi under Gaddafi, Obama moves into action. He says, there's genocide going on in Libya. We've got to stop it. We've got to use U.S. airplanes. We need NATO. We essentially need to bomb Gaddafi into oblivion. We've got to get rid of the regime. And we did, using a massive display of military force. Now, how many people were killed in Libya by Gaddafi in this action that Obama calls genocide? It turns out approximately 250. Meanwhile, in Syria, over the past 2 years, there has been going on a real genocide in which there's a civil uprising against Assad, the dictator. Assad has been using chemical weapons and brutal force in the face of the world watching. And there have been people screaming for intervention. Obama has flatly refused. Not just tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in Syria. No intervention. Now, finally, Obama says, well, all right, we're going to work to stop chemical weapons in Syria. And even though we're stopping the chemical weapons, we're doing nothing to remove Assad from power. So the question then becomes again, why the double standard? Why intervene in Libya to stop, you may say, mini genocide, while not intervening to stop big genocide in Syria? Well, there's a simple answer to that. Gaddafi, the former dictator of Libya, was doing business with the United States. Now, I wouldn't say Gaddafi was an ally. He was actually a bad boy in the 70s and 80s. But after the invasion of Iraq, Gaddafi shaped up. He was outing terrorists. He helped to out the Pakistani AQ Khan. He was paying reparations to the families who were victims of terrorism. He paid reparations to the victims of the Lockerbie bombing. Gaddafi was behaving himself, and we got rid of him. Meanwhile, Assad is our deadly enemy. In fact, Assad is allied with the mullahs of Iran. Assad and Iran have been working together to undermine U.S. influence in the region. So if you were trying to find a consistent way to predict what Obama's doing in the Middle East, it's very simple. He's been undermining our allies, and he's been allowing our adversaries to remain in power. This is precisely what we predicted that he would do, and this is precisely what he is doing.
The inconsistency of everything our nation, our Congress, our politicians, our medical profession, the double standard, the injustice that's being done is so obvious, it will be until our in absolute demise. Just remember here how we're working with certain elements that are absolutely defying the intention of our Constitution.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Keyboards, and has his heart set on learning to fiddle. Something else sets him apart. He was born with a rare form of cancer, and now he lost his health.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the international worldwide broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, comes into your country, your place, on this frequency at this time, every day. I would like to just give some information on how you can help us to continue this broadcast. One way is to contact us. Somehow let us know where you are and what you're listening at or what frequency you're tuned into or what source of broadcast. One worldwide way to check in with us is to go to our website if you have the opportunity to go to our website. There on the website is a contact page that you can click on, send me an email. There on the website also is information concerning the Overcomer broadcast. The website is very simple. Just go to www.overcomerministry.com. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y, overcomerministry.org. And like I say, just explore the website, go to our contact page, and send me an email if you like. I'd appreciate it. Another way is to give us a telephone call if you have access to the phone. Our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. I'd appreciate it if you're listening at this time on this particular frequency or station, you just take the time to contact us even now if you can. Remember, the website is www.overcomerministry.org. The phone number is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. When you call, an answering machine will answer. You'll get a short greeting from me, then you may begin to speak. You have 2 minutes. Give us your message, your information, or your questions. God bless you. Jesus is coming. This is important for you to know as you hear this broadcast for which we broadcast here on this station. Prepare to meet your God. The website is very simple. Just go to www.overcomerministry.org. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. Maranatha.
Care insurance on November the 1st, 1 month after Obama went into effect. Now, mind you, on one hand, they're trying to force the girl to have health care. Who's going to pay for it? Huh? Now they tell us that this new Obamacare will not cover this boy's treatment, even though he was submitting to it. The Affordable Care Act was not supposed to take away the insurance these most vulnerable children already had and leave them utterly defenseless against a life-threatening disease. Why would you cancel the insurance of this little boy? Why? They're willing to submit to whatever treatment you have. The parents said their children have known nothing other than hospitals, doctors, sickness, and pain. Now he refused treatment because the health care or he don't have the money to pay for it. He is hospitalized, needs another round of chemotherapy, which will cost $50,000 without insurance, leaving his parents at their wits' end. Isn't that something? Why would you cancel insurance life? Well, that's not the only ones. They're canceling it all over, trying to force people into this medical proposition put forth by our government today to guarantee health, the health care bill, huh? May Almighty Yahweh have mercy upon those of us who choose to serve him and refuse this aid from the world. May God help us to pray and believe God that they will leave us alone so that we can serve God in holiness and purity in Jesus' name. The Roman Catholic Church, the whore of Revelation, I say that without any controversy on the part of those who believe and understand what is going on in this last hour. The Pope is back in the news. Just the other day, he granted or ordered a private audience with Mr. Putin. He's also met with the leaders of Israel and Jerusalem, planning a trip there, making dramatic moves in the approach of the Roman Catholic Church to society in which we are living today. In 1139 A.D., the Catholic saint Malarkey was said to have experienced visions during a trip to Rome. He subsequently put these visions to paper and penned a document containing 112 short phrases purporting to describe all future popes that would head the Catholic Church. Though not a part of official Catholic dogma or church teachings, the prophecy of the popes is well known by Vatican officials and church scholars because it has been remarkably accurate about naming the last 111 heads of one of the world's oldest and most widespread religions. According to researchers, theologians, and evangelical scholars, the phrases that Malarkey scribed in his writings offer up the nature, the name, the destiny, or coat of arms of every pope in succession and culminate with the naming of the 112th pope. That brings us now to Pope Francis. According to the prophecy that Malarkey gave, the 112th pope will step up to head the church. He will be named Petrus Romanus, or Peter the Roman. Here's the scary part, the one that has given Catholics and other theologians pause, because according to Malarkey's prophecy, Petrus Romanus is to be the final pope who will oversee not only the destruction of the Catholic Church, but the world as we know it. Here's what Mr. Malarkey said. In extreme persecution, the seat of the Roman Church will be occupied by Peter the Roman, who will pasture his sheep in many tribulations, and when these things are finished, the city of Seven Hills will be destroyed, and the terrible or fearsome judge will judge his people. Well, the Pope is doing quite a few things right now. He will destroy his church, the Bible said, or Malarkey said, the 1212th Pope, which is the one in office now, and destroy the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot. The world is full of abominations. In every facet of the world's activity, they're abominations. They're abominations, which means they are limiting God, destroying God, doing away with God, which is abomination of abomination that will make the world entirely desolate without God and without hope. One of the world's foremost experts on the subject published a book titled Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope is Here. And the research claimed that the 111th Pope, Pope Benedict, would resign from his position, something that had not happened for 600 years. Benedict did. He did, in fact, resign. Less than a year later, and was replaced by current Pope Francis. Though Francis' name does not directly match that of Petrus Romanus, he may well be fulfilling the age-old prophecy of malarkey. A pope of Italian descent would fulfill the prophecy, noting that Bergoglio is the son of Italian parents and a Jesuit. Being a Jesuit is a very important aspect of the predictions in the book. It also signifies in Bergoglio naming himself after Francis of Assisi, an Italian or Roman priest who originally named Francisco di Pietro or Peter, literally Peter the Roman. Well, we have a lot of speculation, a lot of going on, and the Pope is definitely involved. The Pope is the one that controls masses of wealth and property. I think I read tonight where the Catholic Church owns almost all the land and buildings, or a good percent of them, in New York City alone. And the Catholic Church probably has control of more wealth than the two other entities combined, which is the Brotherhood and the International Bankers. There will be a confrontation between these power brokers very soon, and it could be unfolding before your very eyes, even today.
But I want people to think. Okay, I want people to think about this primary question. Excuse me.
It just makes me wonder when you had said that, when you had made that statement, that broad statement.
Moral agency. I cherish the idea of our Constitution and Bill of Rights freedoms, which right now, of course, are under assault, not just daily, but hourly. But I've always thought when the Antichrist system comes, this is not going to be an easy task. It's going to necessitate a global scale incident that then will set in motion what Revelation calls the man of sin's cause. He causeth all. Somehow, something that overwhelms the average person's ability to resist receiving the mark of the beast. Now, I had a feeling, I'm not going back here, but I had a feeling when the DHS visited me, I had a feeling that I was only one of thousands because United States intelligence is aware of, considering something, and it might actually involve a global scale incident that maybe sooner than most people expect could set in motion that event, a far-reaching scenario. So what could it be? Now, there's a lot of prospects, but I want to just give you three really fast possibilities. These are probably things you guys have discussed, and it'd be great to have you weigh in on it. Number one would be an EMP or cyber attack, or both. Number two would be a global economic meltdown. Number three, a natural or manufactured global pandemic, the development of which I happen to believe most directly connects to the possibility of the mark of the beast. Of course, it could be all three of those incidents all at one time. All right, so what could set in motion overnight a reality that would then bring about immediately a beastly system that would bring the world to its knees? For, scenario number one that I mentioned, electromagnetic or a cyber warfare event. How so? Most government experts today in fields of risk mitigation are focused on likely terrorist or perhaps enemy state-sponsored scenarios that could take advantage, right, of our aging electrical and water systems infrastructure. For instance, you could either have a false flag event or a rogue nation that could load these so-called defensive missiles with nuclear warheads and launch them and use them as not impact weapons, but electromagnetic pulse weapons, HIMPs, that go off above particular cities. They would target, of course, critical cities where we've got, energy sources, oil and natural gas pipelines, water delivery systems, banking and financial systems. They would target these very particular systems, and they would only need to launch, I mean, these guys could just be offshore in a freighter. And anybody that thinks, oh, our man, you know, 200 miles offshore of the United States, we've got that stuff so protected, there's no way in the world that anybody could ever get out there and have any of these kind of warheads, you know, that they've tipped with nuclear weapons, and now, you know, they're going to launch them as multiple electromagnetic pulse weapons where they're going to go off above particular cities. Never happen. Our security's too good.
When they cried peace and safety, I was just looking at a news item tonight about how the helicopters are flying over Phoenix and over urban cities, how the false flag episodes are taking place, and they're trying to tell the American people they're setting up a defense system for this obvious, seemingly, attack from some source to destroy America. Ladies and gentlemen, all these hypothetical applications are very real. There will be an event very soon that is going to bring about the necessity for a new economic system to distribution of wealth and food, such as Mr. Obama is working very diligently to do that under the New World Order, and anyone that opposes it is going to be put to death. He will give a cause for someone to receive the mark so the economy can go on and everyone will get their share. And whosoever will not receive this mark will they cause to be put to death. Well, is the word of God going to continually be mocked by this generation? I don't think so. I think we're right at it. And most of us, as we can't deal with it mentally or spiritually or financially because we have not received the word of faith that our God will take care of us. And the reason for that is that most people don't even know God.
I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. For the hour of his judgment is come. For the hour of his judgment is come.
For the hour of his judgment has come. And he's going to do that by his son. He's going to judge mankind by the word of God. That's what he's going to do. Questions, questions, questions. Boy, have I got people all shook up because I tell them they're asking foolish questions. They're asking things that are stupid and have no eternal value to them. And when you answer them the way you ought to, they again come back with another question, another question, another question. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, I know and I understand that there are very few people on the face of the whole earth that believes the absolute infallibility of God's Word. The Bible tells us, though, of itself, that the Word of God is settled in heaven. It's not settled on earth because men won't let it settle the matter. But it is settled in heaven. And that's the truth. And I keep telling you people, if you're asking me to give you an answer that's going to deal with your intellect or your mind, your natural mind, I don't have one. Jesus couldn't even do it. He didn't do it. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you see, if you knew the Bible, if you read the scripture,
But you've had these preachers so long pervert the word of God, turn it into a fable, turn it into a lie, until folks just don't believe the simple word of God. I was having a scripture read yesterday, and just as soon as it was read, almost immediately I could tell that they were using another translation. Well, what's wrong with translation? Well, translations are the intellect of a man's mind who tells you what it means in this language. I've often used this expression. The Bible says when they spoke with tongues, it had to be interpreted, not translated. Translation does not open up the scriptures to you. This language, and then said in that language, and the person of who that language comes from will interpret it as they believe it. You need interpretation, not translation. And that's what the devil's done with the Word of God. He took the original, authorized, established Word of God, King James Version, and we've come up with every kind of a translation you can come up with, and the translations are telling you what men think about what God says, and that's not what interpretation is. I could go on and on with that, but I'm well aware that hardly anybody understands me. I've told you about it. I've told you about it on the day of Pentecost, that the miracle of those people who were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, they were not speaking in all the languages of the people. They were not doing it. They were speaking in other tongues, a tongue other than the one that they had mastered. The Spirit of God came into their heart, and they began to speak by the utterance of the Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as their normal intellect gave them utterance. You understand that? No, you don't. Most of you don't understand that. The miracle on the Pentecost was in hearing. And that's one reason why I get so perturbed when I'm talking to you, or even when your questions seem to be so innocent, and I'll say, you must be born again. There's no way I can take the English language, or any language, and give you spiritual understanding. And I'll go back to the biblical example. Nicodemus, he was a very learned man. He was very knowledgeable. But there was something that Jesus was teaching, and he just didn't understand what Jesus was teaching. And he did recognize that he was a teacher. He recognized that he had a command of what he was talking about, but he, in his educational mind, just did not understand what Jesus was teaching. So the Bible said he came to Jesus by night. Why do you think he done that? Well, because he had a reputation of being a learned man. And now he's got to humble himself down, and he doesn't want his colleagues to see him doing it. So he comes at night, so nobody else knows him, and he comes up to Jesus. And he said to him, Lord, I know that you are a teacher. I'm a teacher. I recognize a teaching ability. I recognize the ability to get a point across and get it in the heart of those or minds of those who are listening or come to me to be taught. So I'm a teacher, and I know and recognize that you are a teacher sent from God. So I've come to let you teach me. I understand what it takes to learn. I have to be teachable. He said, now, good master, good teacher, master of the schoolroom, teacher, will you tell me what must I do to inherit eternal life? Can you imagine the answer that Jesus gave him, this learned man? Do you know it? Do you ever, before you ask a bunch of questions, do you ever look in the Bible? And if you did, would you believe it? You know, Jesus answered the man. He didn't go back and grab some commentary or get somebody
who can talk another language. He just looked at this teacher and he said to him, "You must be born again." Well, born again? Nicodemus was flabbergasted. He said, "Born again? You mean I've got to go back into my mother's womb to be born?" And Jesus said, "No, you just must be born again." And he said, if you're not born again, then there's no way I can explain to you or give to you the knowledge on how to receive eternal life, except a man be born again. He cannot understand or believe anything when you talk about the Spirit God, the spiritual kingdom, and the things of the Spirit. You must be born again. So when you people come to me with your questions, and you're coming with your carnal reasoning and your human mind, I can't answer you unless you are filled with the Spirit. Then you will know. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the International Worldwide Broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, comes into your country, your place, on this frequency at this time, every day. I would like to just give you some information on how you can help us to continue this broadcast. One way is to contact us. Somehow let us know where you are and what you're listening at or what frequency you're tuned into or what source of broadcast. One worldwide way to check in with us is to go to our website. If you have the opportunity to go to our website, there on the website is a contact page that you can click on. Send me an email. There on the website also is information concerning the Overcomer broadcast. The website is very simple. Just go to www.overcomerministry. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. And like I say, just explore the website, go to our contact page, and send me an email if you like. I'd appreciate it. Another way is to give us a telephone call if you have access to the phone. Our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. I'd appreciate it if you're listening at this time on this particular frequency or station, you just take the time to contact us even now if you can. Remember, the website is www.overcomerministry.org. The phone number is U.S. code 1-843-701.
With